back, everyone, to a brand new episode, a part two. Tonight's a night of part twos and maybe even part nines or 11s.
All the best things comes in twos.
Indeed.
Rocky 2, Empire Strikes Back.
The Lost World Jurassic Park.
The Lost World Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Anyways, my name's Josh, here today with good buddy Adam.
Greetings.
This is All Gas, No Trash. Obligatory No Curse Minute, sponsored by Game Rage Magazine, which, I mean, we kind of rambled a little bit, so we're basically almost through it. But we just have another few seconds left. And today, we're going to be talking about, this is part two. Adam did a discussion of Cyberdeath previously.
Yeah.
And now, we're basically going to get my opinion on the matter. But first, you know, before we get into it, hey, if you're listening, man, end of a 4th of July weekend. Now it's Monday. I'm depressed. You're depressed. We're all fucking depressed because we all got to go back to our normie slave wage jobs or wage cut jobs. And, you know, maybe we here at All Gas No Trash can help you smooth through that a little bit. And we're giving you three episodes to start your week off, your post 4th of July back to work hangover. And, you know, hey, maybe if you're a cool guy, maybe you call off on Monday. Who knows? Maybe you just call off and say, fuck that place. All right. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Anyways. All right. So that
curse minute turned into a twofer.
Well, I mean, I was just introducing the episode, but well, whatever. We can call it that.
Okay.
No curse minute. Anyways, what's the deal with Cyberdeath?
Well,
tell me the lore. Is there any lore to be had on Cyberdeath?
Not all that much. I mean, just an artist that I happened to find on Instagram. Found her particularly interesting because, as far as like her profile goes, rather active, not only on Instagram, but actually her largest audience is actually on YouTube.
Oh.
And
what's that audience looking like?
Like 10K.
That's a good number.
Yeah, it is. But she's balancing. She's doing kind of like a balancing act between. How do I word it?
I don't know.
An artist and I guess somewhat of an influencer.
Oh, you know what? I've seen that. OK, now let me ask you this. Me knowing nothing about Cyberdeath. OK, I've seen that with like that chick, we did a song, I forget her fucking name, I think her name was Maggie Lindemann or something like that, and she did that song, Break Me. We covered that, like a listen on that a while back. This was like a while ago, it was like last year, I think. And She is like an Instagram whore, but also is in a band. And so it's like that, is that this, or is she just doing other non-sexual influencer things?
Oh, no, it's... it's tangentially related to me. Well, actually, it is related to music in some regard, where she'll sample different things, like just random shit. Mm-hmm. Like a metal canteen bottle. She likes bubbly sounds, so like she likes the metallic sounds off of you know, she just samples a bunch of random stuff and she turns it into music, which is cool. And then she uses like her Nintendo DS to make samples as well. And then also it's kind of like a lifestyle thing, because she is very much into vintage clothing or what people call upcycling, which is like buying clothes from, you know, Salvation Army or some vintage clothing shop, so you don't actually purchase, you know, clothes that are made through new cotton, or, you know, like kind of the philosophy is when you buy new clothes, so many resources and so much goes into it that it's like it's harmful to the environment, right? So if you just buy old clothes, then you're not really doing any additional harm to the planet. But she does a lot of that. She does a lot of music, and there are parts of her where she talks about her personal life. But overall, just like an overall interesting person altogether. And she's kind of blurring the lines between being an influencer and also being an artist. And I don't really know where her music is at. It's kind of, I don't want to say it's everywhere, but it is in the EDM space, but it's also more on the, it's also opened up to the experimental rock So I don't really know how to describe it, but maybe we should just listen to it. Yeah,
let's give it a listen then. All right, so what's the first song we're going to listen to then?
So we're going to listen to it in order of the way that I heard it, which was Husk, and then we'll listen to the single afterwards, which was Dance Floor, which I think was more of a recent track that came out in the last couple of months, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. I'd have to look back on my notes for that. But anyways, we're going to listen to Husk first. So,
all right. So fire up your Samsung refrigerator television music player app of choice and find out Cyber Death, right? That's the name of the Cyber Death.
Yes.
Cyber Death, Husk. All right, here we go. All right, that was Husk by Cyber Death. That was fucking cool, man. That was right up my alley. Okay. That shit at the end where it did that, I don't know what it's called, but it's that panning left and right, but it's the stop.
Like
it's
the like stuttering?
The stuttering. Yeah. That was cool as shit.
All right. Oh, no, continue. Go ahead.
Okay. I really think, now, regardless of your thoughts on what on this subject of the inevitable reboot slash remake of The Matrix, this and Pixel Grip would be like fucking perfect, dude.
Yeah.
Like perfection combined. Her and Pixel Grip, like Cyber Death and Pixel Grip would be excellent on the soundtrack for that shit.
Oh, yeah. I think this is perfectly in line with like Sextile and Pixel Grip for sure.
Yep.
So a little bit of intel about this specific song. This is not a complete song. This is just like a demo that.
Yeah, it sounded like it was kind of short. So
yeah, and that portion that she did the stuttering was actually at the beginning of the song, an older version of it, and she was putting it up on her reels and her YouTube shorts. Mainly to find out whether people were interested to see a complete version of it. And I mean, even the snippet that I heard within like the 30 seconds, I'm like, man, I'm glad she followed through and decided to make that a full version of the song itself. But what else I enjoy about the project is her sister is involved, and she does like the creative direction for the project. So while Cyber Death herself is the producer and just handles all things music, it is a very much a family affair between her sister and herself trying to get this project out there. So I mean,
That's pretty cool, man.
I think this is badass. Like so when she was talking to, I don't remember, I think it was on a YouTube reel where she was talking about how she has this obsession with water and like, she has this obsession with water. So her sister did the album art, and there's probably a bigger version of it. But the thing I really like about the album art is like the liquid metal look to the, the album is called Washed Up, and it's kind of centered around the theme of water and drowning and some, I don't know. Anyways, but just, I like the things that are going on around this project. The fact that it's kept in the family between two people. On the visual side, you have her sister, and then you have Cyber Death herself. And then the music is interesting, and we'll go ahead and listen to Dance Floor, which was one of her more recent tracks. That I think this one's really cool. I think I'll explain why afterwards, but we'll have Josh listen to it and see what he thinks about this specific track.
All right, here we go. So this is going to be Cyber Death, Dance Floor. Here we go. All right, that was Dance Floor, Cyber Death. All right, I just want to open with, well, for this portion of the the review of the song, I really like Cyber Death. I really am legitimately looking forward, just off of hearing these two songs, I'm looking forward to an album or whatever the next releases are going to be.
Yeah.
That's awesome. This song, this Dance Floor song, all right, this is, again, here I go on a crazy fucking tangent, okay? I was talking about this with someone earlier about how I thought it was crazy how kids nowadays can like the 8, 9, 10, 11-year-olds, or, you know, my daughter's just turned 7, right? So, like, she can go into a VR world.
Roblox.
Well, not even Roblox, but it's like built like ours, and she can go. And like I saw this video of a guy in VR grabbing a fucking disc of Halo 3, opening it up, opening up the case, grabbing the disc, pushing the button, opening the Xbox 360, putting it in there and fucking going, right? Okay, like doing and then playing Halo 3 in a VR fucking game. So it had me thinking how crazy that is. And then I also was like, also that TV that was in there was it was an old like CRT TV. And I'm like, okay, see, the Zoomer kid who made that fucking VR game, he doesn't know that at the time Halo 3 was out, there was like a revolution in like HD-ish type. So there was like 1080i. That was like the first level of flat screens. That's what we played those games on. We didn't play them on those old CRT TVs. Most of us played them on like a 480p, 720p, 1080i kind of newish flat screen TV, like that new technology or whatever. And so that's like the touch that it was missing. So it gave me this idea, and this song is perfect for this fucking idea for a fucking movie, where it's a guy who just wakes up and he's back in like 2007 and he's like, what the fuck? And he's literally playing Halo. He's like, oh, he puts the thing in. And it's something like that where he's like, wait a minute, I didn't play this on an old CRT TV. Like, I don't remember this. Like, what am I? Like, there's little touches that are missing. And then throughout the movie, he realizes that he like died, or he got in a car accident or something when he was like in his 40s. And then his brain, they were able to save his brain. They put him into a VR simulation of the shit that was popular. Like they could only go back to like 2007 was like the earliest they could get it back to. So they put him in there to try to like rehabilitate his mind and then put him in like a fucking robot or something. I don't know. I haven't fully fleshed it out. But that song right there is like perfect for when he's like figuring out like, hey, wait a minute, something's not right here. And then he slowly fucking figures it out that, oh, shit, something is I am living in a simulation. And it also is a weird commentary about our current life that you can see people can live the simulation of our lives back from 2007. Isn't that fucking crazy? That's something that like our parents couldn't say, like this music. I don't know, man. This music is great, and it inspires weird thoughts and shit like that. Mm. But, like, our parents couldn't do that. Like, we couldn't do that. We couldn't go back and live in a simulation of our parents' lifetime, like a Ready Player One style type deal. That's, like, what we're starting to experience now. And movies about that kind of stuff, this music is, like, perfect for.
Man.
I'm sorry, I went on a tangent.
But No. I was thinking, like, man, now I kind of feel bad thinking, well, I don't know if I feel bad. Maybe I feel strange thinking how Gen X didn't really have the degree of technology that we do. Talking about millennials and Gen Z, right?
Yeah.
How their life was more analog than anything.
Right.
Whereas, like, for us that grew up in the 90s or even in the 2000s, like, our lives revolved around video games. Well, I mean, going out and doing all that shit, but man, video games were a big part of my fucking life. But also the emergence of the internet as we know it, the first couple stages of the internet, and then I don't know, I was just thinking about how tied we are to like a digital age, so much more so than Gen X.
Yeah, I think cyber death is like now, maybe I'm crazy, but I think cyber death is like a commentary on millennials are the best generation. We literally had the best of both everything. We had that analog outside playing, touching grass, coming home when the streetlights came on lifestyle. We also had video games and a digital realm that was just beginning to, you know, open up.
But it wasn't our whole world either.
Yeah, it wasn't like the kids nowadays after us where it became everything. Like we had both. We literally had the best of both worlds, man. And that's just crazy to think about. But yeah, I think that cyber death is a commentary on that, all right?
Okay, so the reason that I like this particular track, which I said on the previous episode, is because for anybody that has seen The Crow with Brandon Lee, the old... The back in the days, old 90... I can't remember when it came out. I think it was like 95 or 94.
Yeah, mid-90s, I think.
But the soundtrack for that particular fucking movie is probably like one of the not only is it a pretty decent, faithful, like comic adaptation, but the soundtrack for the fucking movie is pretty goddamn amazing. And that's where my mind goes with this specific track, especially with that guitar riff with that ban air and ear and ear and ear. There's a song from The Cure called Burn, which was the titular track of that specific soundtrack. And it very much gives me that feeling, but also that soundtrack also featured like electronica type of stuff, like I think it was industrial. It was definitely electronic music.
Like, yeah, definitely. It was electronic, and I think there was a heavy kind of
there was goth. There was okay. Yeah, it was like
goth. Heavy, yeah,
it was goth, electronic, and
industrial-ish.
It's not to say that the song's perfect. Like I think the song's good, but like I think there's more good shit on the way from like Cyberdeath.
Yeah, man.
From it's like for me, it's the potential of the two songs that we heard, where things can go afterwards. Like that's what gets me excited. Not to discredit the songs themselves. I'm like, oh no, there's definitely more shit on the way. There's better things on the way. We just have to wait out and see what more we can get from Cyberdeath. I don't know when she's releasing new music or when that's happening, but I'd highly recommend anybody go follow her. Like I said, I don't want you to get too invested to the point that you become like a stalker or anything like that. Cause
all right, listen,
I know people get weird with shit like that, right?
Anything we say, we are not encouraging stalking or any kind of weird shit. Okay.
Yeah.
If you have to think about it, if you have to question whether or not it's weird shit, the answer is yes, it's weird shit. Don't do it.
Yeah.
All right.
I just please keep a sense of personal detachment when you follow a new artist. Like, just keep it at that. Appreciate them from their artistry and their creativity.
Yeah.
But don't make it more than what
it is.
And
they don't give a fuck about you, okay? Just remember that, okay? Don't get crazy, like, infatuated. They don't give two shits about you. There's no possible universe in which you could be with them, all right? It's not fucking gonna happen.
Soon as we get off this episode, I don't know who's following us. They're like,
like, fuck those guys. I was in love with them.
No. I was gonna say, like, you know, maybe one of our followers talks to us like, hey, Cyberdeath's really cool. I'm going to follow her. Hey, I think she likes you. Maybe you should follow her around with your van with tinted windows.
That says free candy on the side. Oh, man.
Don't do that.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
That was a joke. I just want you to know that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the end of the episode. So fucking A, dude.
Anyways, don't do any of that stuff and make good choices. That's all we have to say.